you want. We've got a mob of all to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games, and you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too, and you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews, and you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? You love this podcast too.
All right, we're back talking more Mountain West football, previewing the season. Jeremy Moss here, Matt Kennerly. This week, San Jose State, MC Hammer, Alonzo Carter, Spartans.
Let's not forget the head coach, Brent Brennan, year one of the new Spartans head coach.
Oh, that guy too, yeah. We'll be discussing everything about the Spartans today. Check us out. We're on, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, anywhere you can find your podcast. Find us. It'd be awesome to tell a friend or two. How about you do this? If you guys give us a retweet, we will give you a shout-out on the next show if you help us share the knowledge of wealth I think we have on this topic.
I agree.
And that doesn't include those who already participate on the site. We need people who don't write with us to do this. Anybody who does, it's welcome, but I'd like some new people. So let's get to the show here, because we need to make this one under an hour, if possible. We'll give you plenty of credit here, Spartans, but I think 90 minutes is a bit too much for almost any team, not just what we've done in the past. But here's, like you said, Matt, let's start with the big stuff. New coach. They bring in Brent Brennan from Oregon State. They bring in a lot of other coaches. Former coach Brennan was with the Spartans before, but they have a new head coach, and there's been some comparisons between him and Mr. P.J. Fleck.
And I think it makes sense on the surface. You know, you've got a guy who was a wide receiver coach at, you know, Oregon State before he made the jump to be a head coach here. And, you know, he's definitely emblematic of that new wave of head coaches that you're seeing, where it's not necessarily all about having to have experience as a coordinator these days. Like, you're seeing it in Nevada as well. But I think it's most interesting here in San Jose just because of what he's inheriting from Ron Carragher.
So what is he inheriting besides a bad offensive line? Sorry, but...
Well, I mean, we'll get to that in a minute. I think when you consider the three teams that have new head coaches going into 2017, you're talking about Nevada, Fresno State, and San Jose State. Personally, I think San Jose State is potentially the most interesting because, you know, on the surface, we didn't really pay that much attention to them last year. They seemed like they were a forgettable team. But they have some pretty good pieces coming back on both sides of the ball. Like, I know we usually start on offense, so we can start talking about it there. But, you know, they have two of their three top pass catchers back from a year ago. They have four starters along the offensive line, which, yeah, we'll talk about that more in a minute. They weren't great last year. They have, you know, two running backs who combined for 1,000 yards last year at, you know, a little over 5 yards a carry. So it's not hopeless, I don't think.
No, it's not hopeless, but when you have your quarterback get sacked. When we discussed who we're talking about, I was speaking with one of the guys we previewed some of these non-conference teams. Oh, University of Utah. I was talking with those guys about this game a couple weeks ago. It was like double-digit sacks, and they brought in new quarterback. Again, we'll talk to in a minute, but so that the sack rate wouldn't crush your starting quarterback. And so they bring in Love to take those hits, but there's, what, 11 sacks given up? That's an issue. And they, but besides that, there's other talent. Again, bringing all these guys back on the line, you're just hoping it's not the scenario where, yeah, we got experience, but they were not very good last year. But with a new coach, new staff, there's a lot more optimism because it's a new beginning. Like, everybody has a new or a chance to become a new starter for backup because new coach coming and they don't really care what you did last year for the most part. They'll probably take a little bit into consideration, but you got to impress during spring. And if those guys did, they'll be starting again. But they do have players back. It's good for the quarterback too, with Josh Love there. He's had some experience last year coming in for Kenny Potter every now and then. And so that will definitely help a little bit with some continuity. But again, they, like, look at last year, they lose to Iowa State 44-10. They gave up 48 points to New Mexico. They gave up a lot of points to San Diego State, 42 points. They gave up a lot of points. Like, well, their offense wasn't great from that offensive line. Defense wasn't great either. 45 to Boise, 41 to Air Force, all good teams. But this is way too many points. And we remember, and then also Tulsa game too, 45-10 to open the year.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not saying that they're going to rebound and be division contenders immediately. But, you know, I was kind of high on them last year in our season previews, and maybe I jumped the gun a little bit. But I think you could start to see a little bit, at least at the end of last year, from what I remember, of what this team could possibly be.
What was that? What did you see then?
I mean, I think we could start with a running attack, because one thing I want to point out right away is that if you go to CFB stats, for example, and you go to the Mountain West Conference and you line up, you know, by, you know, rushing offense by yards per carry, what you'll see is that the only team worse than San Jose State in the conference was Fresno State last year. But because the offensive line was so bad, it's a little bit deceptive. And what I want to point out is that if you go to Football Study Hall, what they do is they adjust for sack yardage, because as everybody knows, like, traditionally sack yardage is counted against yards rushing, right? And so between their top four runners last year, they averaged right around 2,000 yards, and they averaged about 5 yards carry, which, all things considered, is pretty good. And two of those guys are coming back. Obviously, Kenny Potter moved on, and their leading rusher, Deontay Cooper, moved on. But between the two guys they have coming back, Malik Roberson and Zamor Ziegler, maybe they weren't totally consistent last year, but you're still talking about two guys who ran for over 900 yards between them at over 5 yards carry. And I think if you're in a situation where you're still not sure what your quarterback situation is going to look like in the fall, you could do a lot worse than starting with that kind of backfield.
Yeah, no, they do have stuff there coming back in those two guys. And again, if that line gets even 20% better, that will help everything overall. And think of it this way, like you mentioned, the sack yardages have given up because what was allowed, but also they if you think about it this way, how much work do they have to do if the defensive line knows they can rush past the line and get sacks? How good were these guys to avoiding those, losing big yardage plays or teams just stacking the box and to go for all out blitz every now and then? So imagine if the defense can't just basically force their will back there, making the defense actually, okay, we need to play this coverage over this coverage because they know they can actually throw, they can protect. And so I think you're right there. It could improve that much more just because defense can't focus on, we know we can get a sack or get to the backfield easily. There's probably some stat out there like yards after contact. I'm wondering if San Jose State's running backs were pretty high in that for how well they did rush, for given how poor the offensive line was. So if the defense has to be more honest, that definitely could open up a lot more things. But again, that's a couple things. It's offensive line clearly, and then quarterback play as well. If that can be a little bit better, particularly the line like we mentioned, that could open up a ton of things. And I'm pretty sure the running attack will lead this team this year.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't have any yards per or yards after contact numbers in front of me, but if you go by Bill Connolly's highlight yards per opportunity, they both Ziegler and Roberson averaged over 7 yards.
Boom, without even looking, I thought that up there you go.
And so I think that that's worth, I think that's, that, like I said, that's a very good starting point. But even beyond that, you know, the two guys that they have coming back as far as their leading receivers, between the two of them averaged about 16 yards a catch. even though they were throwing downfield, like if you look at Trey Hartley, his yards per target last year was nearly 10 yards. And Justin Holmes is averaging just a shade under 9 yards per target. And, you know, even if they weren't volume receivers, I think that if you have guys who have proven to be big play opportunists, that's another point that I think can work in San Jose State's favor.
Do we know, speaking of quarterback, we mentioned a lot of Josh Sloan, because unless you're at practice or listen to everything the coaches said in spring for them was a while back, there's not much coverage like the San Jose Mercury News. We mentioned this before. Jimmy Durkin's doing more Raiders and Major League Baseball stuff. They don't really have a guy, so we're assuming to cover the team, which is unfortunate. And so is it assumed Josh Love, or could it be like Montel Aaron, Richard Freshman coming in and unseating him just because there's a new head coach in town? Like I said, everything's typically up for grabs. I don't know who's going to be starter. I'd assume Love would get the edge, but nothing specifically said about quarterback battles or stuff at the moment from what I've been seeing or not seeing.
Yeah, you're right about that, because they actually have four guys who could potentially stake a claim to the starting job, not only Love, but redshirt freshman Montel Aaron, who did pretty well in the spring game, Michael Carrillo, who actually only had one pass in the spring game, but it was a 45-yard touchdown, and Sam Allen, who I believe he's a sophomore. Mm-hmm. So you got like, you know, four guys in the mix, three of them are sophomores or redshirt freshmen. And while Love is the only guy with any game time experience, I think that Brennan's going to be more than happy to kind of take as much time as he can to see who emerges in the fall race. My guess would be that Love would ultimately be the starter, but right now in early June, it's kind of anybody's guess.
Yeah, because Love did play in all 12 games, he had two games. Here's where he played a lot: the Utah game, where kind of weird, they don't want to get Potter getting crushed, 11 of 21, and then he played a lot in the Iowa State blowout loss, 13-27, four picks in that game. And so there's not a lot to like, but he has been around, so that's got to carry some weight. But looking through like what Spartans did the spring game to take that into account, but I'm thinking like you, they play, think of it this way, we'll get to their schedule course, but they play South Florida week one or week zero, whatever you want to call it. Their opener is hosting South Florida, who's probably, or no, will be the number one team considered for the group of five teams for the Big Money Bowl game, Peach Bowl, Cotton Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, whatever it may be. So that's going to be a big challenge for them hosting that team with Quinton Flowers and everybody they have, new head coach, Willie Taggart, and all that fun stuff. Texas coach. What's his name?
Charlie Strong.
Charlie Strong, there we go. Yeah, I apologize for that. So we'll see. I don't know. With the line coming back, the running backs, like you said, and decent amount of receivers, there's some potential there, but it's hard to tell because they weren't great last year, and so... Again, I think my main thing offense is just if their offensive line is that much better, this team probably could score an upset here or there against a team like, I don't know, Utah State might be considered an upset win. Maybe that's the only game I could see them maybe doing like that. At Hawaii could be interesting, but probably not. We'll get to all that. But that's if they're going to be anything decent, I think it's the offensive line, and then that will gel everything together to fewer sacks, clearly. Better running game, better passing game, guys catching the ball. But I guess I go QB in line is my two key points for this team to if they're going to win maybe six games or be one win team or two win team.
Yeah, and I definitely think you're right about that, just because at least as far as pass protection goes last year, I mean, here in Fresno, I watched pretty much every single game, and you remember how much I complained about how abysmal the offensive line was.
Mm-hmm.
But no team in the country last year was worse at pass protection than San Jose State was. They were dead last in allowing 50 sacks total. So even if they get to below average from abysmal, that in itself could be really significant. But I think even more than that, if you can find another receiver or two, whether it's Bradley Gaither, who had a big game in the spring game, or... you know, someone further down the depth chart like Rashid Johnson or something like that. You know, I think they're going to want to spread the field and be a little bit up tempo and, you know, make life a little bit easier for Love or whoever is under center that way. And, you know, if they can find a quarterback who can make those quick decisions, that I think will make the offensive line look a lot better.
It certainly will. And then with Brennan there, he was at Oregon State where they were okay offense. But one thing about him, he is a coach where he coached at San Jose State. So he's familiar with how this team used to be not very good. Like, he was there at 05 and 06, actually 05 to 09. He bounced around receivers coach, tight end coach, recruiting coordinator, OC in 09, and then whatever, a million positions in 09. Listed technically co-OC, OT coach, TE coach, special teams coach in 09. Jeez, that's a lot to work on. And then 2010, he was just a receivers coach. So he's been around for a while. So that's one plus two. He kind of knows what to expect with this, where he's at, because obviously, like we said, they don't have a beat writer, essentially. And you got all the pro teams. You have, you got the Raiders for time being. You got Giants, A's, Niners, Warriors out there, a million teams out there. And they're just kind of down the bottom. Stanford as well, Cal in that same vicinity. And so having a guy there familiar with what's going on is going to be a pretty big deal. And one quick note, on, you said 50 sacks they allowed last year.
Yes, I did.
So Northern Illinois, which was best in the country, gave up only 8 sacks. Their sack yardage was fewer than the total number of sacks. 47 sack yards by Northern Illinois, yet the Spartans had 50 total sacks. So
it wasn't good.
It was not good. I just saw that. I'm like, that's a little tidbit there. It's kind of interesting. But yeah, you're right. Cut that into 25 sacks. Law, that's still not great. That's middle. Even they give up 30 sacks, and they're in the top 90.
Here's to add more perspective, just looking at the Mountain West standings in that regard. Mm-hmm. Fresno State was next to last, and they only gave up 31 sacks.
Jeez. Just do that, right? Just do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, so how are San Jose, if you're banging your head for San Jose or Fresno State sack allowed, man, how are Spartans fans dealing with that? Jeez, 4 a game.
I really hope they sent Kenny Potter some flowers when he graduated.
Something, or pay for a CTE coverage something down the road.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's go to the defense here. Wasn't much better, but they do have some talent. We're working on our top 50 list, or at least some of us are. I'm working on that eventually. It might be up by the time you listen to this down the road, but their defense, well, it wasn't like remember me saying all the points they allowed earlier in the podcast, so there's still a lot to work with on defense. What did they give up, like 40? Shoot, I had it here. But they gave up way too many points per game, clearly. They were not last in one category. That's good. 35 points per game. But it's like when we mentioned with New Mexico a little bit, where they give up so many points. But it's not like the Spartans' offense will be anything special. Defense, man, if they could... I'm not expecting much from Spartans. That's why I'm sort of a loss for words. I'm trying to dig deep to find some positive stuff here. And, well... They do have, what's his name here, Frank Ginda? Is that how you say it? Or Ginda? I forget.
Ginda, I believe.
Ginda?
And see, this is where
there's him. That's the guy you got to watch out for.
Yeah. He's, you know, quietly been, at least in the last year and a half or so, quietly been one of the better linebackers in at least the division, I would say. But I think he's kind of emblematic of the fact that maybe they don't have units that are going to be great. But they do have some pieces in that front seven. Like you mentioned that they weren't exactly, you know, dead last as far as points per game allowed on defense. But they were dead last in points per trip inside the 40 allowed. And so if you're looking for a place where, or another place, like with the, you know, sack totals on the offensive line, where they say, well, if they can improve to below average, that can make a difference. That's one of those things. And I think it helps that they have a couple of guys on their defensive line who can pitch in, you know, guys like Bryson Bridges and Owen Roberts, who, you know, between the two of them had 14 tackles for loss last year and 6 sacks, which is a lot more than some other teams in the division could say, I would think.
Yeah, for sure. And that's going to be helpful. Like, I'm looking at the Athlon All-Conference. You mentioned guys, a couple of those guys mentioned. And I was looking because I remember the past couple of years, we'd always joke a little bit, or kind of a sad joke about how their rush defense was just awful. It wasn't great last year, but it wasn't what it used to be like in 14 and 13, where they were just ridiculous. They're near the bottom. They give them 5.5 yards per play. So when they got inside the 40, I'm assuming they just ran. The teams ran out. They were the fourth most team ran against in the conference at 45 per game. And so if those guys, while they got all those tackles for losses, they still need to not allow almost 5.5 yards per attempt. And I don't know how they do that unless these guys just get bigger and stronger and better, because running defense has been an issue forever. Going back 4 years, I remember that Minnesota game they lost where it was stupid turnovers in the red zone, and they, like, a minute left and a half, I think, Minnesota ran option for some reason for a while. I think the quarterbacks had, like, 10 – it's like an Air Force game, essentially, or New Mexico, giving up, like, 10 completions – or 10, not even completions, 10 passes, but they ran, like, for 500 yards against them. It's been it's been an issue forever, and that's – I always look for an area for them. Like, it was red zone defense. Red zone offense, because they've never scored in the red zone. We're like, stop at the 30 and go for the touchdown. And then rushing defense has always been terrible. But maybe with, like you said, Ginda back there, like Bryson Bridges, that could lead to something better. But that's an area I always look at because they've always struggled. Maybe this new staff will make a difference. But that's always like my number one concern for their defense, because their quarterbacks have always been great, always recruited well. But part of it is that they just San Jose State can't stop the run, and so they don't pass as often. And when they did pass, these guys, like when they had Benay Bin-Wickery, who used to be at the Panthers for a while, they would make big plays, but they never threw enough. Like, for a while last year, wasn't the Spartans' pass defense was like under 100 yards per game? It's because nobody threw against them. And so teams will probably do the same thing, because secondary is going to be solid, but they'll just run and run and run 40 to 60 times a game.
Yeah, and I think if you're looking at last year's numbers for any glimmer of hope, what you can see...
Help me out. How were they good? Tell me where's the positive here.
Okay, so here's the positive.
Sorry, folks.
Because in general, yes, in the last 3 years or so, their run defense has not been good. But more so last year than in the 2 years before that, when they did get it together, they were much better against the run than when they weren't. In the 4 games that they won last year, they only gave up 4 yards a carry. And in the 8 games that they lost, it was a shade over 6 yards a carry. So if you're a Spartans fan, you're hoping to see a little more productive or a little more production from the front four. You know, if you're looking for guys like, you know, Cameron Alexander or Michael Berry, especially, to kind of step up and be factors along the front four. And if they can do that, that makes the guys behind them, like Ginda or William Osai, you know, who aren't necessarily heralded guys, but they can clean up messes if you ask them to. It's just a matter of the front four kind of standing its ground and not giving up so many yards.
True, and part of the front four as well, like they returning, they lose 2 defensive ends last year, Isaiah Irving and Nick Orgiela, who did reasonably well, were the top, one of their better tacklers at that position. But they have guys like, if you look down their depth chart, Cameron Alexander, highly rated redshirt freshman. A lot of these guys, and then we said Bryson Bridge, he should improve overall from, played 11 games, only had 15 tackles, but he had a 14.5 for a loss. Jeez, like we mentioned before, those guys will get better, and they had some decent sack rates, but they're going to miss 7 or 10 total, 7 from one Irving and 2 from Orgiela, that's 9. But I think younger guys could step up, because Spartans have recruited reasonably well despite this coaching change, because they had one coach, their defensive back coach, would just rake in talent after talent. I forget, he left somewhere. Did he go to Arizona, I think it was, a couple years ago?
You're talking about Mike McIntyre going to Colorado?
No, the defensive back coach that was just recruiting like crazy. I forget where he went, but he was responsible for bringing a lot of good guys to town there in San Jose. I don't think he's there anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
He won like recruiting.
It was only 2 years ago that the only team in the conference to out-recruit the Spartans was Boise State. And so those are guys now who are either sophomores or juniors, where if you're looking for guys to kind of alleviate the transition from one system to another, those are those guys. And those are guys like, you know, Cameron Alexander or Brett Foley,
Tyson Parker.
Like, you know, guys like that.
Yeah, Tyson Parker, one of the high, looks like, assuming I'm reading this correctly, the second highest recruits, top linebacker recruit they've had in the past while, one of the top 5 overall with a composite from 24/7. So those guys, maybe this will be it, where these young guys get registered last year, or some of even played or were just on the sideline or whatever, watching and learning. Like, maybe that's where the defensive line can help out or get help, but they lost most of production from a unit that wasn't very good. Same with linebacker Christian Tago. I know he's injured quite a bit the past little while. He had 60 sacks in 9 games, or almost 60 tackles in 9 games. So you missed him. You missed Mark Amon, who had about 30 tackles for that for the year, losing their those tacklers at the position. So maybe that's the bright spot. These young guys will step up and be significant contributors right away. And at worst, it's hard to say what I was going to say. It'd be worse as you were last year because that wasn't good. So maybe these guys coming up, then they will. I still think it's going to be, and they're still a year or two away from contending, even though they're in the West Division. Not even contending, like contending for like even a bowl game. They're still a while back from that. But the positive here, a lot of young guys recruiting that they received the past couple of years under previous regimes. I know a couple left due to there's some issues on campus. That wide receiver left because of, I think it was some sort of assault thing is a couple weeks into the season. But overall, they've recruited pretty well. And this year and probably more so next year is where we'll be talking more about a bowl game and beyond. Because I remember last year, I think I said four. We were all over the board. I think I said four wins. You had them over a bowl game. I think when Chris did his preview as well, wasn't that same range close to a bowl game. But we were all over the board because we didn't know what to expect. I think this team will be a little bit better than last year, but I don't see – the win total may not be there.
Yeah, but I think the other thing too is that if they can get at least a little bit better against the run, they have one of the more experienced secondaries in the conference as well. And I think that there's really no reason that if they can improve on, you know, against the run and force teams into more passing situations, that I think could benefit this group a lot, because you're talking about, you know, four, five, six guys in that secondary who had game experience in the last couple of years, were young and also pretty good. Like, I think you have to start with Andre Chachere, obviously, because if I'm not mistaken, he was a first team all conference pick, was he not, by Athlon Sports?
I'll check. I know he had 14 pass breakups last year. Yeah, they had, Andre Chachere was first team cornerback of the Maurice McKnight third team safety.
And even beyond those guys, I think the other people you would expect to contribute in the secondary have a chance to be really good, you know. And they're young, too, like sophomores like Trevon Bieria or Ethan Aguayo, who pitched in and, you know, even between them had seven tackles for a loss, so they had maybe a little bit of ability to defend against the run. But even beyond them, you got guys like Dakari Monroe, who could step into a cornerback slot, you know, Jermaine Kelly, who has been pretty steady in the last couple of years. And I think that, you know, I'm trying to think. I lost my train of thought.
They have talent there. That's amazing. They have a lot of talent there.
Yeah, and you could see them improve by down last year. Like, if you look at the split stats as a pass defense, their worst down was first down. They gave up the most yards. They had, you know, they gave up eight touchdowns on first downs, oddly enough, against one interception. But if you go from first down to second down, all of a sudden it's, you know, four touchdowns, four interceptions. And the quarterback rating drops by about 25 points. On third downs is where it gets really interesting, because at that point, quarterbacks completed less than half of their passes. They had the majority of the interceptions, and they had a quarterback rating where the average quarterback might have been Chasen Virgil on third downs against this team last year. I think that's something you can look forward to. If they can get a little bit better against defending the run, you know, force teams to be a little more predictable, especially if they can play with a lead on offense and force teams to throw, that I think is where this team's strength is. Because when they were winning last year, they really had a chance to shine.
For sure. We'll see how it goes, but the main defensive thing, if the front four can stop the running game a bit, then if they were what they were last year, about almost just slightly below average, that would be good enough, I think, for them to show some proof. Because last year they weren't great. I mean, 2015, where they were giving up, still 5 yards a carry. They were giving up 5.5 last year. So if they could do that in 2015, that would help quite a bit. Again, like you said, you're spot on. Make them throw the ball. That's a way where this defense can make plays and help the offense. So, all right, let's take we're going to move on to the schedule here. Or is there any special teams talk? Or we just kind of go kickers are okay, and we like kickers and punters?
Right? I think both Bryce Crawford and Michael Carrizosa should be pretty good, and that'll help too.
Yeah, Crawford missed two PATs last year, and then, they should be good. But that's fine. We'll move on from there. We'll get to those stuff later about special teams perhaps in the season. But let's take a quick break, and we'll get to everything else, the schedule, to see what Spartans will finish up this year from our spot-on projections, right?
Exactly.
All right, let's get to the schedule here for San Jose State. Like I said earlier on, they're one of those week zero early games, a lot of Mountain West games week one, taking on hosting, which is nice. The also likely, very likely, leader in the clubhouse week one, week zero, South Florida. I was going to say San Francisco for some reason because they're also USF. Too much of me doing West Coast Conference stuff for San Francisco basketball. For those guys, the Dons, but they take on South Florida, new coach, like we said, Charlie Strong. They have Quinton Flowers, probably one of the better quarterbacks you should know about, and it's at home, so that's a plus, but it's going to be a very difficult one for the home opener.
Are you surprised that Bill Connolly gives them a 25% chance to win this game?
I would say 18% of that is travel fatigue, going from South Florida. That's a long trip, South Florida, San Jose.
Yeah, but for the season opener, though?
Maybe. That's... Okay, new coach is probably why as well. Okay. Even though both teams have a new coach, he's also his margin of projected victory is only 11 points. And that, it's, I am surprised by that. I think because new coach, you're traveling across the country, unfamiliarity on both sides, your own coaching staff compared to San Jose's coaching staff. But do you think Quinton Flowers would run very well as he'd want to and pass somewhat okay against his team? But I expect Flowers to have like 150 yards running by himself.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're probably right. Like, if all the talk we just had about can they stop the run, you know, you're going to get a test right away from the quarterback as to whether you can do that or not. Obviously, they're going to miss Marlon Mack, which I think is going to make a difference. But they've got two guys behind them who could probably, you know, replace that production between the two of them. So while I think San Jose State's ultimately going to be interesting, they could probably make this a game for about a half or so, I really don't have any expectation of them winning this game.
They're not either. For me to say this is a success, this opener, is a single-digit loss, like losing by, like by 9 points or 10 points. But I don't even know if they could do that. Because when you look at what – like we're not going to dive super deep in South Florida and everything, but, again, they have one of the best quarterbacks. Like he – if they do well enough – Flowers probably, or very likely, should be considered like a Heisman, some sort of like one. If they invite five guys and they're going through like maybe being undefeated or something, he would be up in that mix. Like even though he ran very well, he still completed almost 2/3 of his passes, had 24 TDs, 7 picks, ran very well. And if you look what else they have, like let's go to like the rest of their offense, it's going to be an offense. Like I know, what do you think, whatever you think of Charlie Strong, Texas wasn't great. What he did at Louisville was really good. So if you go back to there and see what he could do offensively overall, there's a lot that could be done. And with South Florida, like we said, Flowers ran. He crushed it on the ground. 1,500 yards, was number three in the conference rushing. Their top running back is back as well. And he was no slouch. Who was it here? De'Ernest Johnson still had 500 yards as the primary running back. So I imagine he's going to get better. I imagine Flowers, yeah, his numbers may come down, but more efficient. It's just... I just see them running through this game, but to be honest, it's probably be a 3-touchdown loss for San Jose State.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that.
So let's get my spreadsheet going here so I'm keeping track. Cal Poly, I know Spartans aren't going to be very good, but they should win that one, right?
Yes.
So let's move on to Texas. Oh, boy. Their schedule is tough. They got Texas, at Utah, which I'm hoping to be at that game. It should be then Utah State hosting. We know Texas hasn't been great. They have a new coach. They have Tom Herman there themselves. They have issues at quarterback, seems like, for a while. But they're not going to be Texas. What would who's better? Let me ask you this question. This is more fun. South Florida or Texas? Who do you think is a better team?
Ooh. I mean, at this point, wouldn't you almost have to say South Florida?
I would, because they have the better player, Quinton Flowers, and I'll keep mentioning his name a million times because he's great. I would say, yeah, South Florida is projected to have a great season, or Texas is hit or miss. Texas didn't go to a bowl game last year, did they? I think they were 5-7, I think.
Yeah, they were. I mean, to keep in mind, though, Texas, they were kind of in the wilderness for a few years. I don't really see any reason why Tom Herman wouldn't get them back on the right track. And they do have a pretty good quarterback of their own who was a true freshman last year in Shane Buechel.
Assume he's the starter again. But yeah, besides him, they've had some issues. Tyrell Swoops and other guys haven't been doing all that great.
Yeah, and so if you're expecting him to take a step forward, you know, this is one of those situations where, you know, San Jose State may be game, but, you know, you're starting against kind of a natural talent deficit in the Longhorns, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Here is one possibility where it might help out San Jose State in this game. Texas plays Maryland a week before, whatever, they'll crush them, I'm thinking. They get USC the week after, and they may be sleepwalking through part of this game. So there's potential something on those lines where, hey, maybe Texas doesn't really care for a while, and they realize, oh, wait, we're playing San Jose State. We should be winning this game. But they're kind of overlooking to see USC. I know it's early, and it's game number two for Texas. It'll be game number three for San Jose, but that could be a possibility where Texas is a little bit slow. But as for talent, Texas should win pretty easily, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I agree.
Then they go to University of Utah. Like I mentioned,
cover your eyes.
Yeah, when I mentioned our talk with the guys from Block U, I'm like, is there going to be another all-time sack record in this game? Because last year, I think it was 11 total sacks they allowed. And it wasn't like eight.
I watched that game. It was brutal. I felt bad.
Yeah, wasn't it like, I think, eight sacks in the first half, I think?
It was.
And they have, even though Utah lost a lot of guys to the NFL, they still have guys like, what's his name? I think it's Lowell Lotulelei, the cousin of Star Lotulelei, the guy from the Panthers who's pretty good in the NFL. That guy's out mm-hmm. there. And from, you know, in Utah or watching them for years in the conference, and me as well, paying more closer attention. Kyle Whittingham's a pretty good defensive coach, if you haven't heard lately. And
I have.
Yeah, you should have for what he's done. But, man, this one. Well, here's a positive for San Jose State. Utah has a new offensive coordinator. They brought in the guy from Eastern Washington, Troy Taylor, to be their OC. Quarterback situation's up in the air. Probably still going to be Troy Williams, even though they're, quote, pretending to have a three-team race for the quarterback. It'll be him. They have a new running back because Joe Williams is in the NFL now. With your 49ers, so there you go. Look forward to that, Matt.
Okay.
And that's in a position where I think San Jose State might be able to do something because the Utah's offense, like, to be honest, their offense the past couple of years, even with, like, Devontae Booker and Joe Williams running the ball, they've never had a quarterback since, no, not kidding, like a decade since Brian Johnson was leading them in the Sugar Bowl, beating Alabama. They haven't really had a consistent quarterback playing, so, and Troy Williams wasn't great last year. So they're, like you said, that secondary can step up due to the defensive line making some plays. I think this game will be closer than people think.
Yeah, I think I would agree, but for a different reason. You know, one of the things I've mentioned in past preview podcasts is that, you know, there's a correlation, I think, that Bill Connolly found between, you know, pass production returning and, you know, wins the next year. But, you know, on the flip side, you know, when you lose a lot in your pass defense, as Utah is, that correlates very strongly with wins the next year, too. And they have exactly one guy who, you know, started 13 games last year coming back in that secondary along their two deep, I think, in Chase Hansen.
Former quarterback Chase Hansen, too, so don't forget that.
Oh, okay.
Converted quarterback. He's supposed to be the dude to be the quarterback, and, of course, in fashion of Utah and TCU, let's change positions to fit you better here.
Yeah, so they're like losing literally everybody but one guy in their secondary. So if you're San Jose State, you're probably hoping that your passing game isn't a total disaster by this point in the season, because that, I think, is going to be their best chance to pull an upset.
There's that, because they, like I said, they lost, I think, eight players to NFL draft, a lot on the defensive line. Also, one thing to consider for me, you know, in Utah a bit more, their offensive line lost a bunch too, so... There, I think, like, what was this? If they could protect the quarterback even okay, like, this will be a theme all year until they prove us otherwise. Because Utah game last year, it was, what was the final score in that one? Even though all the sacks is only 34-17.
They were in that game for about a half.
And I remember in the first quarter, they were toe-to-toe and doing very well, running the ball extremely well.
Yes.
And so that's... there's the positive look for last year. It's on the road, and I don't know who will show up for this game because, sorry, some Utah fans are not super passionate and certain teams come to town, but it's a what, 7 o'clock Pacific tip on ESPN2, so people will watch it, so maybe that'll be something. But I think it's going to be Utah's going to win, but I think it'll be somewhat close. It'll kind of surprise a few people because Utah, well, I don't know, they started strong for, well, never mind. I was going to say something about Utah starting strong or fading or something, but this game's also early in the year, so I will pass on that misinformed comment I was going to say. All right, so then they get the conference play. The Utah State, this is a game where, what does Bill Connolly have here? Let me guess, without looking, I'd say about 50-50. Not even close. Oh, boy. 35% chance victory for the Spartans in this one. Because Utah State, now this is a team where, yes, they have Matt Wells back, but every other coach, I believe, is new, or for the most part. Losing Devontae Mace to NFL. They have Tawny Lindsey, who may or not be something. They're trying to run a super fast offense with David Yost there. But I think this is a game. It's at home, too, for San Jose, which is odd. It's only a 1-3 chance to win. Whereas that, what's that, Utah game is, 14%, but still. Aggies have a lot to prove for me as well, so I'm not going to say guaranteed they're going to win this game. I think San Jose could. This is one of the games where I guess it's an upset, but I think I could see that due to uncertainty for what Utah State's doing as we're talking about this during the summer.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think you're right. I have a feeling that Utah State's going to be a little bit better than a lot of people think. So, I mean, personally, I have this one as a loss for San Jose State as well.
I'm probably leaning that way because I've talked to the guy from the Salt Lake Tribune, or beat writer, as an Lynn Worthy, a new person there covering the team, and reading through everything they did and Matt Wells. I know it's sometimes hard to spring champion. Everybody's great. Spring football. We did good against our defense. Who knows exact plays we're running? And so sometimes it's a little bit hard to take into it. I remember they also lost Rashad Lewis, starting wide receiver. So that's a ding for them. But I'd still say Utah State because Matt Wells needs to win if he wants to keep his job. He's firmly, stupid hot seat reference here in the summer, but he was lucky to keep his job from last year. I think part of it was the unluck factor, I would say, them losing so many games by so few points and injuries to running back. If they get Tawny Lindsey running well, Kent Myers, we know, is a really good quarterback, and you throw it to Rontavian Carver, that's something I don't know if San Jose State can keep up with. So I'll go with the Utah State win, but I think it's going to be pretty close. So right now, Spartans are 1-4. Head into Vegas, baby. Next week at UNLV. Oh, man. Is this where the Armani Rogers takeover happens? And people get pumped because he's starting week 5 or something?
Well, no one knows 6 just yet. But it is kind of interesting that these two teams, at least on offense, are kind of mirror images of one another. You know, they both have experienced offensive lines coming back. They both have at least a couple of really good receivers coming back. And they both have shown a propensity for running the football. It's just a matter of who's the quarterback going to be.
Sure, that's the thing, because the Rebels have arguably, they might have the best receiving core in the conference, or close to it. Because last year, remember, they had to move everybody over, like defensive backs playing out there just because of all the injuries they had, an unluck factor. Like Devontae Boyd is their way. It's Devontae Boyd or Adams who they have this year. I forget. They have Devontae's.
Devontae Boyd.
Boyd, that's right. I apologize. There's a lot of Devontae's, and so it's a little confusing sometimes to recall who's around. But I think you're right. If UNLV has a quarterback, whether it's Armani Rogers, who probably seems likely to be the guy after spring, or they have Kurt what's his name?
Palandek.
Yeah, Palandek, Johnny Stanton as well back there too. So they have a couple guys. Sorry, I'm blanking on names. That's par for the course, folks. My name recognition sometimes. I don't have a roster in front of me either. I'm kind of doing the sometimes blind, like want to mention players. I'm like, oh, crap, I need the roster, but I don't have it. But regardless, quarterback situation is up in the air. And I think UNLV, like I know this is a Spartan show, but if they're playing a team that doesn't have a solidified quarterback, or they're playing Rogers, who's a redshirt freshman, there's going to be mistakes to be had. And it'll be a great matchup, just like all these great, like, this is, if you like, or like if you're an NFL guy or you want to watch good receiving matchups, this is probably one of the better games all year to see this, with the defensive backs that San Jose has going up against these UNLV receivers. So that probably could be the key of the game, where if UNLV can throw the ball. But again, like, who is their running back? But Lexington Thomas, if he gets something going for the Rebels, that, it's always going to come down to that running game for me for Spartans.
Yeah, and to that point, like in last year's matchup, San Jose State won that game, but it was because UNLV wasn't really able to throw the ball at all. Like between Palandek and the departed Dalton Sneed, they went like 12 for 30, which probably isn't going to get it done against anybody.
Nope.
You know, to me, the bigger question is who's going to be able to stop the run a little bit more. And at least for right now, like I like the way that San Jose State is trending, but I like UNLV's running game a little bit more. So I feel like this is probably a first to 40 kind of situation, mm-hmm. even with the quarterbacks up in the air on both sides. But I kind of like UNLV a little bit more in this matchup, so I would have them winning that one.
This is a clear 50-50 matchup, according to Bill C. I'm going to go with
that
you because
right.
It does, because it's a home game for Rebels, so I'm going with another loss, unfortunately, for you guys out there in San Jose. Let's go kind of rapid fire through these a little bit here. They have Fresno State next week. This is their one of two games they're favored in, the other being Cal Poly slow and 60% chance. And you're the Fresno guy. You want to see a victory. It's on the road, but what do you see happening in this matchup early? Since we don't know who the quarterback, well, we know who the quarterback is, but what Jeff Tedford's going to do at the quarterback position.
Yeah. I mean, I think more, the bigger question is, like it is with Utah, like, are they going to be able to stop the pass? Because they're replacing three guys in the secondary in Fresno as well. And they didn't really show much of an ability to stop the run last year either. So while, yeah, I would like to see a victory at home, I'm not exactly betting on it. And I have San Jose State winning this game.
I would say I'm going to go San Jose as well, just because we agree on everything. Is it because I hate Jeff Tedford? Maybe. Or no, I hate the hire of Jeff Tedford? Probably. But it's unless Chasen Virgil has a big game and does what he can do. But I would say the Spartans, like you said before, they're trending upward a little bit more than other teams perhaps. I don't think Fresno State's trending upward at all because they only won the one game last year. They were a mess. And they brought in the coach who might be past his prime or hasn't coached in a decade or so, whatever it's been, 5 years. But I'm going Spartans victory. So
okay.
Two wins. So then they go to Hawaii. They're going to lose that game the week after because Drew Brown and our favorite coach, Nick Rolovich, is going to do something crazy. And let's make this prediction. If Hawaii is down 10-0, the benches will be removed from their sideline for the whole game.
I can see that happening, yeah.
What makes you think this being a road game for San Jose State, going up against a team that has a good running back, a good passing game, that Spartans could make a case to win this game?
Same thing as, you know, their chances against Fresno. Like,
every other game?
Because, like, you know, same thing in Hawaii. They're replacing three guys in the secondary as well.
So you think that's going to be an issue there, the reason for the outcome?
Yeah, I mean, I think Hawaii is ultimately going to have enough on offense to make up for that in this particular game. But I think that that's the thing that San Jose State could probably exploit if they get their quarterback situation under control, because they have the pieces there to make that work.
Did you know Hawaii has three first-team defenders from Athlon, the only preseason all-conference team out right now?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to say that's the reason they're going to win?
Well, I mean, yeah, I would say that too.
Okay, just making sure you don't mention any defense. You got Drew Brown, Dice Day Juiced. They got Dijon Allen protecting the quarterback, John Ursa, Ursa on the outside. So, all right, that's good. This is going to be a victory for Hawaii. Even though, do you know the percentage of victory projected by Bill Connolly here?
I do. It is 46%.
That seems high.
It does.
But I'm still going with Hawaii for that victory right now. So then they go to BYU. You know, San Jose State beat BYU a couple years ago.
I do remember that.
And
yes.
Fans are not happy about this in my neck of the woods because lose to freaking San Jose State. What are you freaking kidding me? And we'll talk about BYU a ton because they play half the Mountain West. Mm-hmm. This is at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, and it's after bye week, so that will definitely help. Going to Hawaii, back to San Jose, week off, then go to Provo, one state over. I don't see, this is going to be, I'm going to make a prediction now, and they're not going to like me about it. This defensive performance by BYU in this game will mirror the Utah game in the amount of sacks allowed. by the Spartans' offensive line, or potential to, because their linebacking group, like, look at Athlon and some other publications, have BYU's linebacking group about a top 15. And they have at least one NFL player back there in that position, I'm assuming. At least that's the early, early 2018 stuff. But that's going to be an issue. But here's the – I'll give you a positive, too, guys. Don't think I'm just hating on you. BYU doesn't have a running back at this point at all. And they don't have a running quarterback. And the receivers aren't very good right now.
Well, they do have a quarterback who could throw, though.
They do have that. But I mean, specifically the running portion, he scrambles a bit, like side to side, more of a pocket mover to throw. But they don't have a guy like Jamal Williams, NFL running back. They don't have McTayson Mill, who can run and hurdle University of Texas players. But their offense is going to be interesting because playmakers are limited. Yeah, Tanner Mangum, the quarterback's, is going to be pretty good, but the receivers last year, they made no downfield plays, part of it being who the quarterback was, but a lot of drops, and they lose their top three receivers. And so I'm not saying San Jose State's going to win, but this is a game where if I think this defense for San Jose State could potentially have some success against an offense where, yeah, it's week 8 or 9 or 10 or whatever week we're at this late in the year, things will probably be together better for both teams. But going off what we know now here in the summer, BYU is going to win, but the offense doesn't look good outside of their quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I have BYU winning, they say, pretty comfortably. I just feel like even despite those holes, they always seem to find guys to make themselves a competitive team. You know what I mean?
They surely do, and they'll probably be fine, and we'll win this game over San Jose State. But just mentioned, like, if you want a bright spot where there could be some success, that's where it is. Whereas they probably know who their starting running back is, but it's going to be three different guys back there. They're going to implement the tight end. That could be a little something different there that helps them out with the passing game. That's probably I can almost guarantee their leading receiver for BYU might be their tight end, despite not having one the past 4 or 5 years with the spread attack with Robert and I there. But Spartans, I'm just saying, like, if they can protect the quarterback, there could be some. This game could be interesting.
All right.
Then they go to San Diego State back home.
That's a loss.
Sorry, Rashard Penny and Juwan Watson or Lawson is going to run over you like a tank. Anything about a possible win there for you?
No. Let's just move on.
At Nevada, winnable game, right? Winnable game.
Definitely.
New coach as well. They have Jay Norvell, Matt Mummy, there, Timmy Chang. So all the nice pass-happy quarterbacks, coaches in that game. It's a road game, and it's nearly a 50-50 split. And I think one matchup to watch, like we mentioned last year, is for Nevada, the rush defense was pretty bad for most of the year with who they lost the year prior in 2015 to 2016. I still think that's an area where this game could be won or lost by who can run the ball better. Even though Nevada may not run that much, but they have James Butler, who arguably could be the best running back in the conference this year.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm teasing our eventual Nevada preview a little bit. I just don't have a great feeling about the Wolfpack in 2017.
Well, so, why is that?
I mean, we'll talk more about it once we get there.
Okay, then this specific game, then, like, what's your uncertainty about this game then?
Like, are they going to have a good enough defense to stop what I think is a fairly promising San Jose State offense?
Also, at this point, Nevada, also back to Nevada, like their offense, they don't know who their quarterback is. You got Ty Gandry, but it could be David Cornwell from Alabama, who hasn't done the pass like
in
5 years.
These two teams last year, it was like the Wolfpack won, or rather the Spartans won, a pretty ugly game between them. So I guess it wouldn't surprise me if it were somewhat the same. Like, I think that San Jose State's secondary matched up really well with the Nevada offense last year, and I really don't see any reason why it wouldn't again. Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like San Jose State could go on the road and win this game.
Interesting. I think I'm a bit higher on Nevada than most people. I think maybe it's the Mummy thing or Norvell, what they're wanting to do, spread attack. But I think they have a solid enough running game where that can make up for quarterback issues, if there's any. Plus, also, when Ty Gandy played, he played pretty well last year. He wasn't a terrible quarterback when he had to come in relief. And so I'm going with a Nevada victory because they're at home. And I think they have the more consistent pieces in place, what we know in the summer right now.
I think we finally disagreed for the first time.
Good. Good on us. All right, next one, really quick. At Colorado State.
That's a loss.
Loss. They have three running backs at this point because of Kinsey's back. Not McKenzie. Kinsey back doing something maybe. And Nick Stevens. People didn't like my tweet recently about me saying maybe Nick Stevens is better than Josh Allen.
Yeah, that was all you. That wasn't me.
At Jeremy Moss. And my specific thing was statistically better. There's a difference, right?
Okay.
No, you know.
That's you like said that, it, okay? Not me.
I'm just saying if Josh Allen could have been considered number one this past year, he only completed 52% of his passes. So, just saying. All right, next one. Wyoming hosting San Jose State. This is a brutal preview to do. I'm sorry, Spartans fan. We're trying here. Here's a positive. They're given a 40% chance to win this game at home. It's on November 25th. Is that Black Friday? Or is that it's a Friday game, so I think the time's already been set. Oh, it has not. It'll probably be a mid-afternoon game, I'm assuming, like those 4 o'clock afternoon games on Friday after Thanksgiving. But this will be a test, I guess, if you want to look at certain things where Wyoming running back is at least headed into the year question, which could help that defense up front. And then let's see what C.J. Johnson, Wyoming receiver, does against any of these defensive backs on San Jose State side. And will Josh Allen just be stupid and make some dumb plays if they force some interceptions?
I guess that would be kind of one thing to watch, wouldn't it? Because the secondary is pretty good. Mm-hmm. So if Josh Allen kind of devolves it a little bit into bad Josh Allen, that could make this game a lot closer than it probably should be.
True, because not to go off on one, I mean, really quick, but the best defensive backs they play. I know Hawaii has a couple. Utah State should okay a little bit. Boise, there's not that many good defensive backs they face this year, like until San Jose State. Like CSU has a decent defense, but Air Force lost everybody. New Mexico can't protect the pass. Boise lost, I think, they have Tyler Horton back there, but Texas State, Oregon, Gardner-Webb, Iowa. This will be probably a top 2 or 3 defensive back matchup for Josh Allen, and then trying to find C.J. Johnson or whomever else gets open. Because there's also bad Wyoming as well, where they screw up every now and then too, because this is a road game for them. Because if you remember UNLV last year, they gave up 60-plus points in triple overtime in a loss.
Yeah, at the same time, though, I don't know that I would necessarily want to bet on bad Josh Allen in any given week. And if you listen to our Wyoming podcast, which if you haven't, you should probably do that as soon as you finish listening to this. I already had this down as a Cowboys win.
Me too. And like you said, the only way, like if you're looking for stuff to look at now, because this is what, last week of the year, everything's going to change and be different. But if you're looking for optimism, home game for Spartans, defensive back favors them against the Wyoming offense, and the running situation for Wyoming is probably not going to be as good as last year. So that means, what do you have, Matt? 3 wins?
I have them at 3-10 and 2-6 in the Mountain West.
We have the same league record because did you have them beating Nevada? I didn't keep track of your games.
I did.
You did. So Nevada, Fresno, we were boring, but 3-10. Sorry, Spartans fans. What would be, okay, if they're, let's really quick to finish this up in like 3 minutes. If they're going to get like an upset or two, like to get to, well, let me rephrase it. What's your percentage of like them getting to a bowl game? Because they have to get 7 wins.
7 wins. Ooh, okay. 20%?
20%? I might go 5.
I think what's going to help them the most in that regard is if they can pull an upset in non-conference play. Like, I think they're going to have to beat one of South Florida, Texas, or Utah. I'm just not totally certain that they're going to be good enough in the first month of the season to do any of those things.
I don't think they could beat any of those teams, and the closest one I might say is South Florida, but then again, that's probably this number 2 quarterback on the season they're playing, maybe 3 third best quarterback, because you got Quinton Brooks.
Because in conference play, I really don't see much reason why they won't be competitive, because they do have a couple of definitive strengths. I think
you're overlooking they play in the West Division as well,
exactly,
as a strength.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I have them beating Fresno State and Nevada, But it wouldn't surprise me if they were able to hold serve at home against Utah State, or mm-hmm. if they caught Wyoming on a bad day,
or even or UNLV
on the road and beat UNLV. I definitely think all of those things are possible.
But then again, those games you mentioned, UNLV, Hawaii, Nevada, are all road games too. So
yeah, they're going to need to win one of those games on the road.
I think,
and
they,
I'm not sure again
if they're going to win any of those road games. I think I'd give UNLV the best chance.
I would too.
So, man, we agree too much. What's well, hope you like agreeing podcast, folks, agreeing everyone. But that's our San Jose State show. We did keep it to an hour, not 90 minutes. So either you're welcome or you can yell at us if you didn't like us, that we didn't talk long enough or praising enough of San Jose State. But yeah, we'll see what happens. So that's our show for tonight. We'll have another podcast next week. And who are we doing next week? Who's the next show we're going to do in order? Is it going to be Nevada? Because we had a lot of clamoring for Nevada at this point.
We have. And so I think we should give the people what they want.
We'll get them some Matt Mummy love, right? Talk about the grandson of Hal Mummy. Is that correct?
I thought he was just his son.
I don't know. We'll find that out next week because we're going to do some research. All right. Yeah. So that's our show for tonight. Check us out. We're on SoundCloud. Oh, that's been long gone. Why do I keep saying SoundCloud? We're on Stitcher, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn. Check us out everywhere you can find your podcast. And as always, yeah, we're biased against your team, folks.